Good evening, everyone. If we can all stand for the pledge of the flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. The clerk will call the roll.
Ms. Ramsey Smith.
Present.
Dr. Enix.
Present.
Ms. Quiatek.
Present.
Ms. Leon.
Present.
Dr. Van Wert.
Present.
Ms. Wilhelm.
Present.
Mr. Cologne.
Present. So tonight we have four citations honoring a few recently retired city employees: Samuel Kessler, Fabian Martinez, Robert Portaladdin, and Richard Sierra, none of whom were able to attend tonight. So we'll make sure Robert check that. Mr. Portaladdin is here, I believe. So I will read that citation. Bear with us one moment. So the citation we have tonight from Mr. Portaladdin, which reads, whereas the residents of the city of Bethlehem have been served by a dedicated, diligent, and talented member of the Bethlehem Fire Department for more than 30 years. And whereas Lieutenant Inspector Robert Portaladdin, who started with the fire department in 1992 as a firefighter and retired in 2022, has during the course of his employment provided the utmost and reliable and outstanding service to the fire department and the residents of the city of Bethlehem. Now therefore be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that Lieutenant Robert Portaladdin be extended the gratitude of the City of Bethlehem, which has benefited from his more than three decades of service and the special contributions he has made to promote public safety and to protect the lives and property of Bethlehem residents. Be it further resolved now that Robert is retired from the fire department, he can relax and enjoy all that life has to offer him. And be it further resolved that Robert be extended every good wish for a long and satisfying retirement.
Say a few words if you'd like.
Oh, no, no. I've said enough in the 30 years. Everybody started hearing from me. Thank you. God bless you all.
I just want to make sure there's no one else who's receiving a citation present tonight. Thank you. And again, congratulations, Mr. Portaladdin. So, approval of the minutes for January 3rd, 2022. For the old council, and then the January 3rd, 2022 minutes for our new council. Any comments or questions on the minutes? Minutes stand approved. So we'll open up tonight with any subject not being voted on during our public comment. Again, 5-minute time limit for courtesy to give everyone a chance to speak. Our YouTube reminder, if you start this meeting after 7 p.m., please make sure to scroll ahead so that the YouTube stream is current rather than a recording of an earlier portion of the meeting. If you signed up to speak in person during the first public comment period on items not being voted on tonight, I will call you up to the lectern in the order that you are signed up, and then I will turn to anyone else in the room who wants to make comments this evening. And then we will also turn it to the phones afterwards if there's anyone watching at home who wants to make comment tonight. So we'll start with anyone who had signed up in advance. There was no one who pre-registered to give comment tonight, so I'll go around the room. Starting on the left-hand side, is there anyone present on anything not being voted on tonight? Mr. Rodriguez?
Eddie Rodriguez, 701 Main Street, Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. I came here tonight with something that I've been hearing here since I've been back. With reference to the West Broad Street and their plans to do something there with reconstructing it and putting a medium in there. And I've been up that and down that street practically every day from 16th Avenue all the way through onto Broad and Main. And I really don't see any congestion there. I don't see anybody being in any trouble crossing. There's hardly any people there, period. So I don't really see their complaints about, oh, we can't cross the street and so on safely and all that. I don't see that, really. I think that if you plan on going and doing something with reference to West Broad Street, I would suggest not doing it because it's fine just the way it is, really. I don't see any danger, and I don't see the changeover. I don't see where it needs a medium. Next thing I wanted to follow up was tall buildings. You put these tall buildings on the south side of Bethlehem or anywhere, I think that there should be a limit on the size of the building. How many stories and so on and so forth. I heard a comment in the last meeting where there was something about the Greenway. And it may have come from Ms. Van Wert, I'm not quite sure, but with reference to that if you put these buildings up as high as they are or would be, you wouldn't have a sight of the Greenway whatsoever. How many of these buildings are going to be constructed? How many people are going to come that have the money from Jersey, New York, and wherever else to come into Bethlehem and put it like Allentown? That's all you have is tall buildings in Allentown. We don't want that here. So if I got to go around and get people to sign up on a piece of paper, a petition, I will. I don't think that's proper, not for this city. I mean, sure, you already got parking decks here on the south side of New Street. Understandably so, there's a corner where the subway is at and the newsstand, that's fine. Limit the amount of buildings and the stories. I'm asking you to deal with homelessness here in the city. It's a bad situation. It's getting worse. You take out these people that are in by constructing tall buildings. You're pushing out people that are subsidized and can't afford their rents. I'm more concerned with that. You're pushing also these people that can't afford it and won't go out of pure refusal, but don't have the program because the programs are one, two, three, pick your choice. You have to be put on a waiting list. By the time that happens, they're already on drugs. They're already homeless. They can't afford their residing place and many other issues. I'm deeply troubled with that. You know, those people, you should ask the government to put more subsidized programs. Senior citizens are more nowadays throughout the country than not just Bethlehem and Allentown and Easton. But we're seeing less senior high-rising that are affordable, subsidized, and not enough to put these people where they could last until their last dying days. I'm one of them. I'm 74 years old. I may not look it, but I am. And I live in a senior high-rise. More high-rises like Moravian House, Lutheran Manor, Lissenberger, Rooney Building should be put up instead of these high-rises just to get the money off people from other parts of the city in New Jersey and New York. You got the money, you're in. How about the people that are being pushed out? That's the main concern, which all of you should put in your heart, not just your mind, and not because of the money. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Rodriguez. Is there anyone in the center tonight that would like to make comment? Mr. Shire?
Bill Shire, 1898 Eaton Avenue. I want to start by complimenting the planning office for the annual report, which was presented to the Planning Commission on January the 6th. A lot of good detail, and I had two main takeaways from the report. The first is the collection of new apartment buildings in the works for the south side. The average height is about 7 stories. This is about twice the historic height in South Bethlehem. The second takeaway was that of the 1,661 units approved in the last 10 years, 40% were approved in 2021. There seems to be a surge of interest in building high-end apartments in South Bethlehem, which is, don't think, news to anybody here. I'll mention again a paper by two economists about migration between urban areas. Bethlehem, or Lehigh Valley, falls into their classification of a medium urban area. It's losing some population, or such areas are in, on the whole, are losing some population to small urban areas, but attracting more from the larger urban areas. This paper compared the first year of the pandemic with the last year before the pandemic and found that the net in-migration to medium urban areas like the Lehigh Valley had doubled. Need better light back here. These big folks coming from the larger areas, some of them still have the same job. And they're working here, part remotely, part or full-time. So they're bringing large city salaries to a smaller city, hence the high-end apartments. I heard last Wednesday that the Lehigh Valley Planning Commission has said that the biggest deficit in housing right now in the Lehigh Valley was the folks making $100,000 or more, poor dears. This is a disadvantage when you have notes. You should have it all memorized. We also heard last Wednesday and previously that since 2000, there's been a 30% increase in jobs in the city of Bethlehem. Since the year 2000. Now, St. Luke's has been expanding some of its activities in the city. Lehigh is perhaps responsible for a bit more with its new Department of Health Sciences. But perhaps the biggest factor has been the warehouses. And these are decent, respectable jobs, but they're not particularly high-paying jobs. Hence the need for affordable housing. The medium income in the city of Bethlehem is about $52,000 a year. Using the 30% rule from the Housing and Urban Development that no more than 30% of your income should be spent on housing, that equates to $1,300 a month for housing. We have heard that the New Street conglomeration will have 10% of its units for affordable housing. If those such units were to rent for $1,300 per month, it would mean that half of the city could not afford to live in the affordable apartments. I'd like to suggest that the planning office add to its annual report an annual report on progress on affordable housing, or it could be a separate report. The city of Bethlehem is rapidly approaching a critical crossroads. It needs to decide whether it will be a city for the economic elite or whether it will continue to accommodate the hardworking, honest, and caring folks who have made the city what it is, but do not happen to have a lot of money. These folks can be found in South Bethlehem, North Bethlehem, and West Bethlehem. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Shire. Is there anyone else in the center who wishes to make comment this evening? Mr. Antalis?
Stephen Antalis, 737 Ridge. I would like to continue my comments made at the meeting the other day concerning the South Side. Primarily affordable single family homes. What agency has been most responsible for the loss of affordable single family homes on the South Side? That agency is the city of Bethlehem. The loss of housing on the South Side is not a new issue. It began in the 50s after World War II with the need of steel in Europe. The Bethlehem Steel needed to expand. With the GI Bill allowing veterans to attend universities and colleges, they needed to expand. The steel company could only move in one direction, east, and the university could move one direction, north, into the city. So, how did that affect the loss of single family homes? At that time, the redevelopment authority of the city appointed a dean of the university and a vice president of the Bethlehem Steel to head redevelopment in the city. And what that said was, when the steel company and university said jump, the city said, how high? And that introduced the loss of Packer Avenue and Vine Street to the university to expand, encompassed the loss of single family homes. In the east of the South Side, East End, the tenants, which were primarily occupied by Latino because of low rent, they were destroyed. Why? The city ceased to inspect the buildings. Since they weren't inspected, they were condemned. But at that point, the Latino community suffered a great injustice because they were blamed for not maintaining the buildings, which was not their responsibility. And the real thrust into the heart of the center of the South Side, in terms of loss of housing, was its zoning code. All other major university towns strictly limited the number of people, of students who could live in one building. Primarily three, and some places only two. But the city accommodated these now non-resident landlords by defining a family as five unrelated. And this brought in out of state and out of country real estate developers to convert to student housing. Carlton, Wyandotte, Berkeley, Summit, Fillmore, Hayes, you name them, all these streets are an extension of the college campus. That's irreversible now. So, who's suffered? And based on what Bill just said, I'm complimenting on his comments because he's right on target. The people who made the South Side cannot live here anymore because there are no houses to they can live in. And living in an apartment building on a high rise is much different than having your own home. So, those were sad days for Bethlehem.
Thank you, Mr. Antalix. Is there anyone else in the center who'd like to make comment tonight?
Good evening. Father Richard Gendris, 77 West Broad Street in Bethlehem.
My name is Oleg. I'm a priest in Northampton.
Esteemed members of the council, Father Oleg and myself stand before you this evening as representatives of two Ukrainian churches here in the Lehigh Valley. We are members of the Brotherhood of Ukrainian Clergy in the Lehigh Valley. We come this evening before you to ask for your assistance and the help of all the citizens of Bethlehem, and for that matter, of the Lehigh Valley. As you well know, a week ago, the madman, Vladimir Putin, unleashed his war on the Ukrainian people. As we are gathered here this evening, Vladimir Putin is slaughtering our people in Ukraine. The Ukrainian people have stood up against him bravely and courageously. All we need to do is look on the television and we could see the grit and the determination of the people of Ukraine to fight against this tyranny and to fight against this injustice and to save their land and to save themselves from his tyranny. We need your help. Tomorrow, Father Oleg and I, with the other members of our brotherhood, will be meeting with other community leaders to coordinate efforts to see what we could do here in the Lehigh Valley, to collect donations, to run events, to bring this to the forefront so that we could get the support of the people living here, which we believe we already have. We need your help to publicize these events, whether they be prayer rallies, prayer meetings, prayer services, I should say, whether they be community events, community meetings. We can ask you on the local government level to change laws, to get armament over to the Ukrainian people, to close the skies above Ukraine, but we can ask for your support to help us run these events, to help us in communication. We would ask that in a show of support, that alongside the American flag and the flag of the city of Bethlehem, that you put up the yellow and blue flag of Ukraine until this horror is over. We would ask that as we coordinate efforts with such organizations as Get Downtown and the Historical Association of Bethlehem, that you help us decorate Main Street or put us in touch with the people that we need to put in touch with. We're asking for help in communication and your support. Help us do this for a freedom-loving people, for a freedom, for a people that's looking to hold on to democracy, for a people that are basically holding the line against a tyrant from the rest of the world, for a people that is basically saving the world from the maniac Vladimir Putin. That's all I have to say. Thank you.
Thank you, fathers, for coming out this evening. If you're able to stick around as we work through our agenda, I'm sure myself and other members of council and the administration would be happy to talk more one-on-one after the meeting tonight about ways we could support your cause and your mission.
We could try, if not, we'll leave our information with somebody so that you could contact us, if that's okay.
Of course, we'll definitely be able to make contact. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Was there anyone else in the center this evening who wanted to make comment on anything not being voted on tonight's agenda? I'll move over to the right. Was there anyone follow along at home? I will briefly turn to the phone line, which we have re-enabled. Anyone watching on YouTube who wanted to comment on anything not being voted on tonight can call in at 610-997-7963. Again, for anyone watching at home on YouTube who wanted to make comment, that's 610-997-7963. Seeing no calls, we're going to continue on with our agenda. Moving on to tonight's second public comment for anything that is going to be voted on tonight, any ordinances or resolutions. Again, we didn't have anyone sign up before the meeting to speak, so I'll work through the room. Starting on the left again, is there anyone who wants to make comment on anything on tonight's agenda? No one from the left. Moving over to the center, is there anyone who wants to make comment on anything being voted on tonight's agenda? Seeing none, I'll turn over to the right. Kicking it back over to the phone line. That number remains 610-997-7963 for anyone who wanted to call in to make comment on anything being voted on. Again, that's 610-997-7963. Moving on to old business. Any old business from members of council? We're going to turn over communications. Communication 6A.
A memorandum from Michael Alcohol, Director of Public Works, with a request for a public hearing on the city's pollutant reduction plan at the March 15th, 2022 City Council meeting. As part of the city's municipal separate storm sewer permit, the city is required to prepare and implement a pollutant reduction plan. The purpose of the plan is to identify water quality stormwater best management practices to reduce sediment loading to impaired local surface waters.
A public hearing is going to be held at the beginning of the March 15th City Council meeting. Communication 6B.
A memorandum from Michael Alcohol, Director of Public Works, recommending a professional services contract with Herbert Rowland and Grubick Inc. in connection with work on the South Bethlehem Greenway drainage swale. The term is 60 days and the cost is $21,953. There are no renewals.
Resolution 10A is on tonight's agenda. Communication 6C.
A memorandum from Laura Collins, Director of Community and Economic Development, recommending a professional services contract with Michael Baker International for work on a strategic plan to address homelessness consultant services. Estimated completion date for the work is April 1st, 2022. Through April 30th, 2023. The cost is $84,690 and there are no renewals.
Resolution 10B is on tonight's agenda. Communication 6D.
A memorandum from City Solicitor John Spurk with an attached resolution and associated use permit agreement. The permittee is American Association of University Women Bethlehem Branch, and the event is the 60th annual book fair at the Early Schaefer Ice Rink. The event runs from April 28th through May 2nd, 2022.
A resolution will be placed on the March 15th City Council agenda. Communication 6E.
A memorandum from City Solicitor John Spurk with an attached resolution and associated use permit agreement. The permittee is Work to Live LLC, doing business as Run Lehigh Valley, and the event is the Brew to Brew Run on April 9th with an April 16th rain date. The premises is Nevin Place, adjacent to the Sun Inn Courtyard and Main Street from Sand Island to Broad Street.
A resolution for that use permit agreement will also be on the March 15th agenda. So moving on to reports. We have a few EAC appointments tonight. 7A1.
A resolution to appoint Benjamin Guthrie to the EAC. The resolution is sponsored by Ms. Leon and Ms. Quieta.
Any discussion? I'll just make a couple brief comments because we're going to have a few of these resolutions tonight. I thank the two members of the EAC who are going to be reappointed this evening, while I also thank the two new members who had reached out and expressed interest to the EAC, the work and project. The EAC is always very active, and I also extend a thanks to their chair, Lynn Rothman, who has been active for years now and very involved in overseeing the EAC and helping gather community interest. And we had a few interested individuals, and I thank everyone who expressed interest and those who are going to be volunteering. I'll ask the clerk to call the roll.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Ms. Ramsey Smith?
Aye.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Leon?
Aye.
Mr. Cologne?
Aye. Passes 7-0. 7-8-2.
An appointment resolution appointing R. Michael Topping to the Environmental Advisory Council. The appointment is effective until January 2025. The last resolution was also effective until 2025. I didn't state that.
Thank you, Mr. President. Any discussion on Mr. Topping's appointment? I'll ask the clerk to call the roll.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Ms. Ramsey Smith?
Aye.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Leon?
Aye.
Mr. Cologne?
Aye. Passes 7-0. 7-8-3.
A resolution appointing Katie Trendler to the Environmental Advisory Council. The appointment is effective until January 2025. The resolution is sponsored by Ms. Leon and Ms. Kwiatek.
Discussion? The clerk will call the roll.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Ms. Ramsey Smith?
Aye.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Leon?
Aye.
Mr. Cologne?
Aye. Passes 7-0. And 7-8-4.
A resolution appointing Vibor Kumar to the Environmental Advisory Council. The appointment is effective until January 2023. The resolution is sponsored by Ms. Leon and Ms. Kwiatek.
Discussion? The clerk, please call the roll.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Ms. Francis Smith?
Aye.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Leon?
Aye.
Mr. Cologne?
Aye. Passes 7-0. Thank you. Mr. Mayor?
Thank you. Just a couple of reports. One is, I just wanted to update everybody. We had last year, if you remember, we had the situation with our pools not being able to be open because we didn't necessarily have enough lifeguards. So one of the things we started earlier this year was going out in the community. Jody Evans and Angie and the mayor's office have been working really hard to get out into the community to be able to attract more people. We are ahead of where we were last year as far as recruiting lifeguards, but we still do not have enough. We did not want it to be a situation where we waited until May or June to necessarily report that. So I think that is something important for us to know. we did raise the hourly wage a little bit to be competitive with some of our suburban neighbors. And it's paid off with some more people showing interest. And as I said, we are ahead of where we were last year, but we are not there yet.
both on the lifeguard and the cashier point of view. So if we know anybody, have them contact City Hall, and it's something that, you know, we will continue to try to recruit over the next couple months. If you remember last year, Clearview, Yasco, and Memorial were open. Westside and Stark were not. We have all talked about how it's a priority to open all five pools this year, which is still our goal. So if you know anybody, or if you can spread the word, that's important. We're important for us. And like I said, we've been going out to swim meets and different places to try to recruit people, and it's been successful. But we're still still a little bit short as of now. I also wanted to congratulate our police chief, Chief Gott, here, who today will be participating as Congresswoman Wild's virtual guest for the State of the Union. And the chief had an opportunity to meet with the congressman earlier today and had a little bit of a Q&A that I believe was streamed live then, I believe. And the chief was selected partly because of her great work within our department, all of the things that we've been doing as far as trying to implement the social work component to our public safety response. And I think that that is quite the honor for our chief and for our department, and something that I know we did a lot of congratulating the chief today, but it's something we all should be proud of. Our congresswoman represents 600,000 people, and she chose our police chief to be her guest for the State of the Union. So I do want to take a moment to publicly thank the chief for all of the hard work and for the great honor. And then I have Mr. Evans has a couple of updates here, and then that will conclude our report after that. Mr.
Thank you, Mayor. I know we do have a finance committee scheduled for next week, but we didn't want to share with the entire council tonight that after a COVID caused delay, we did have received our final audit for the year 2020. It was several months delayed. Typically, we get our audit back in the fall, September, October, which is when we normally are able to report on that. But due to the remote work and everything else that COVID has caused with the delays, and we were able to put a wrap on it. It's Mayor Duschel, the certified public accounts from Harrisburg, that completed it. They've been doing the audits for the city for some time. Their job, as with any auditors, is to review our reporting, report discrepancies, undercover process issues, and any recording errors that they may find along the way. But I'm very pleased to report that the audit this year has a first, and that it reported no findings, that is, no issues with anything that they came across through the months of reviews. We immediately posted the entire audit on our website, as we always do. All our audits and our budgets are posted to the website as soon as they are received, and it will be used over the course of the next couple of years with any grant applications, any credit reviews we do, and anyone else that needs access to it. It is on our right off our homepage. If any member of council has any questions on it regarding the audit, or whether specific questions or audit in general, I would ask you please contact me or our Director of Budget and Finance, Mark Sivak. We can also address any questions regarding the audit next week at our Finance Committee. And in closing, I just want to take the time to thank and acknowledge the work of Mark, as well as Lenny Lazarchak, our Director of Financial Services, and her team. As an audit with zero findings is very unusual. In the 14 years I've been working with the city, both on council and now here as a business administrator, we have never seen an audit that we are this proud of. So it's something to be proud of as a city, and I want to thank them for the work they did both with the auditors and throughout the year. Often it was done remotely, which makes it more difficult to communicate, especially with some of the discussions and conversations that take place during an audit of this complexity. And with that said, we have already begun work on the 2021 audit with hopes to finish it on time, which will be the September time frame for this year. Thank you.
Thank you. And I just want to add to that, it is a testament. Obviously, was not in the seat last year, but the administration and many of the same people that are running those departments, it is a testament to their hard work. And, you know, as Mr. Evans said, you know, I think I've now seen 14 audits, and I've never seen one with zero findings. And sometimes findings come back, and they're I don't want to say they're not your fault, but they're tricky situations, whether or not from an auditing point of view or an accounting point of view, to be able to get to that point by which the auditors don't even list it as a particular finding. And I think it's reflective and representative of the fact that the people in this building take their jobs very seriously.
And like I said, that's not something I deserve credit for because I wasn't here last year or when this was done. But between Mr. Alcall and Mr. Vascola and Mr. Evans and all of the different department heads and Mr. Yasso too, who I know is here, who left, it truly is a reflection of all of, you know, how much goes into spending every dollar and spending it in a way that can be accountable and transparent. And I think this audit reflects that. I certainly remember years where there were negative findings, and you'd find a lot of people that come to these meetings to try to point out all the negative things that you could find in an audit, whether or not it was during the Great Recession or whatever it might be. And I'm sure the Finance Committee meeting next week will not be, this place will not be packed for it, but I think implicitly it should be packed because it is a real testament to the hard work that city employees do day in and day out, and I thought it needed to be mentioned. And the last thing I would say is just I want to thank the two of you for coming today, and we will certainly, we'll certainly speak to you. Mr. Evans is going to give us all your contact information in case you have to leave, but we look forward to working with the two of you on your goals.
Thank you.
That concludes my report, Mr. Clune. Thank you.
Thank you, Mayor Reynolds. Continuing on with tonight's agenda, there are no ordinances for final passage nor new ordinances for tonight. We're going to move on to resolutions. I'll ask the clerk to read Resolution 10A.
Be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the Mayor and the Controller and or such other city officials as deemed appropriate are hereby authorized to execute an agreement with Herbert, Rowland, and Grubick, Inc., for services related to the South Bethlehem Greenway Drainage Swale. The resolution is sponsored by Ms. Leone and Ms. Kwiatek.
Any discussion on the resolution? I'll ask the clerk to call the roll.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Ms. Cramsey-Smith?
Aye.
Dr. Hinnicks?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Leone?
Aye.
Mr. Colon?
Aye. Passes 7-0. The clerk will read Resolution 10B.
Be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the Mayor and the Controller and or such other city officials as deemed appropriate are hereby authorized to execute an agreement with Michael Baker International for strategic planning study to address homelessness. The resolution is sponsored by Ms. Leone and Ms. Quieta.
Any discussion on the resolution? Dr. Van Wert?
I was just wondering, Ms. Collins, if you could give us a little bit of background on this.
So, yeah, just to go through the process here, just because Ms. Collins was not here for part of it because she had not started yet, this process had grown out of a several-year situation. As I think a lot of people remember, this RFP had gone out under the previous administration, and it had grown out of the kind of year after year, I don't know if frustration is the word, uncertainty with the idea of having a permanent shelter. If you go back years and years, it was a situation where different churches necessarily hosted people on different nights, and it just was both a practical and also zoning problem. And then the Bethlehem Emergency Shelter had gone to the Zoning Hearing Board and had been able to gather the requisite approvals for the where BES has been up the street. That process, however, with the church and the ownership of the church, has been one that for a number of years has been uncertain as far as the future of that church, you know, and what that necessarily would mean, which led to the previous administration putting out a request for proposal to have somebody come in and study several different issues, which is the same thing that the internal group looked at when taking a look at these RFPs. The idea of finding a standalone, a place for a standalone shelter, what it would necessarily cost to build one, what it would necessarily cost to operate one, and then also just the continuity of services, because this isn't just about building a particular shelter. It's about where are you going to put a shelter that's going to allow for the necessary social services that are tied to having a homeless shelter. And there's also that kind of regional aspect of it as well. So after that RFP went out, I believe there were five responses that returned, and then there was a committee put together, both of the people that we have seen work on a lot of these issues with BES for years internally, between Bob Novotnik, Kristen Wenrick, Alicia Carner, Laura was on the committee, Angie and Janine from my office, as well as Councilman Leone was a part of the committee, as well as Mr. Rapp, who is here, and Mr. Riddle, who is here as well from New Bethany. And the idea was that, you know, we wanted to take a look at how are we really going to, and we've said it before, it's a regional issue. But at the same time, the City of Bethlehem has a responsibility that we move past this current process by which there is, it is a lot of it's up in the air. And we've had a lot of close calls as far as that. In previous years, last year, if you remember, we had to utilize the ice house because the pandemic had helped to close down BES. We had gotten, you know, I'm going to knock on wood here, there were a couple moments in January where we thought we were inching towards that because of the pandemic again, which we were going to have to use a public facility rather than having, you know, our homeless population necessarily be out in the street when it's 5, 6, 7 degrees. So, you know, we took a look at the idea, and that's kind of like the genesis of it. So then we had the 5 responses, those 10, 11 people scored the different responses, and then we brought in 3 of them to do virtual interviews and presentations and things like that. So then we went through that process, and then it was unanimous that from the people that were in on that conversation, that the selected service provider here would come in. And it's a big decision, because it's not just, you know, if we're going to do it, but how we necessarily are going to spend the money. And where is not only the most convenient place to put this, but also the most equitable place to put it. Because there, you know, you could put it somewhere, but you don't, doesn't necessarily mean that is the best place for services for our homeless population. So the combination of different things that this was required was, you know, kind of the reason why we went about this process that kind of went across 2 administrations. And then the biggest driver was, as I said, just the kind of long-term situation we've dealt with for years as far as the uncertainty of having an emergency shelter, and then obviously all of these issues that were made worse during the pandemic. So that's kind of an overview of kind of where we, how we got to this point.
Thank you very much. I'll let my fellow council people speak if they have anything.
Fellow council? Ms. Kramsey Smith.
Thank you. Well, I have to say I'm really glad that we're acknowledging or addressing the homelessness issue, because we've said for some time now it's a major issue that we've got to deal with. And this is not to discount the Michael Baker International firm at all, but I just have a lot of questions and concerns. When I looked, I didn't really know about this until I got in my packet over the weekend, and when I looked at the firm, and again, just looking at the website, all I could see is that they were like consultants in engineering, and I really couldn't see anything about housing. So my first question is, what is their experience or expertise in consulting in homelessness and housing services specifically? Do we know that?
We do know that. We had gone through this interview process, and we had asked them a lot of different questions, because the level of expertise we are looking for here is not, and it's always a balance, because, you know, there are different people that work in these particular issues but work on one individual aspect of them. So part of it is, what is the expertise that Michael Baker is able to bring in as far as expertise related to housing, which they do have, and also the engineering and things like that, that necessarily don't, that aren't things that we necessarily have within within City Hall or with the other members of the community, whether or not it's Mr. Rapp or Mr. Riddle, as far as their own experiences. So we were asking them to do, or we are asking them to do, a number of things, including be flexible with, because it could be a situation where 3 weeks from now somebody could say, here's a property that is a property that would be available. And then if you're able to save the money on the site acquisition and things like that. But we were very comfortable with both their presentation to the committee, and as I said, there are members of the community that are here today, as well as their experience in this field.
Can you comment, like, have they done any consultation specifically on housing and homelessness? I guess that's my bottom line question. Do we know if they have?
Yes. Laura. Yep.
Thanks. And first thing I'll say is, happy to walk through their proposal with anybody on council who wants to take a look at it. They've detailed a number of projects they've worked on across the country. The city of Long Beach was one that we talked about in particular. When we were interviewing them, they worked with the city on the appropriation of property for a year-round shelter there. They also worked on a vulnerable communities assessment in the city of Monterey. In Union City, they worked on a public services needs assessment. And then the members of their team have varied experiences in housing and urban development in the homelessness space. The main contact, his name is Damian Delaney, has 30 years of HUD experience and work in the housing space. So we've got paragraphs and paragraphs on the projects and also the individuals who are on the team. They've also sub-consulted or subcontracted for services from someone locally who has worked with the Ripple, Ripple Inc. out in Allentown. So they are bringing like local experience in as well in this specific space. Does that answer your question?
Thank you. Somewhat. I guess my concern is, again, I want to address this issue as soon as possible, but it's a lot of money. I mean, $85,000. And one thing I do hear from my constituents a lot is, and that's, you know, reality, if I'm honest, what they say is that we hire consultants a lot and they don't feel that it's worthwhile. I can see there is a need for consultants at times. I'm just concerned, especially given my experience when I worked for the county in human services, you know, I saw that it was so important that we give the money directly to the clients and for the services they need. And I just want to make sure that if we're going to use the money for consultative services instead of direct services to those in need, that we have, you know, we're getting the best bang for our buck. Let's put it that way. I don't really know. I'm not aware of this firm. I only know from what I've read over the weekend and, you know, reached out to people to try to find out what they're all about. I guess my other concern is, or question was, anyone from like the previous housing task force consulted, or did we look into NYU? Because when we did the NYU workshop for all those weeks, they said those people were available for technical assistance. So did we look to their guidelines as far as, you know, should we do a consultant? What's the best way to tackle this? Or do you have any references for consultative services?
So a couple things. One is, as far as the price is concerned, I believe that the five, I believe that they were all somewhere between 78,000, 79,000 and 100 some thousand.
Yeah, that's correct.
I think it is. And one of the advantages too about Allentown is they do have an office. They have a, Michael Baker has an office in Allentown, which helps out with the regional kind of portion of this. And they're right here. And then if you remember the NYU cohort, which I went through as well, it's, you know, they had talked a lot about how the things that they had focused on as far as affordable housing and different things did not necessarily involve the idea of homelessness. And the strategies that we kind of went through with that cohort, as far as the different ways, and I know I've walked through that list with many people in City Council, as far as affordable housing and those different kind of buckets and the different strategies, were, you know, homelessness is a portion of that, but it is not necessarily, and there's a lot of conversation about separating the idea of affordable housing and homelessness because it's two very, very different type of things. Even though they both involve housing, it is not necessarily the same thing. But we use that NYU kind of framework as far as the affordable housing kind of like buckets, which we have talked about before on a daily basis, as far as, you know, rental assistance and things like that.
Thank you. And I agree, it is different, but I mean, the number one cause of homelessness is lack of affordable housing. So it's related also. So I guess my bottom line is, I just feel that I don't know enough about the firm, you know, to make, you know, to vote in favor of this, because it is a lot of money and it is a huge undertaking. I mean, we need to make sure that what we're doing, you know, is going to be best practices. I know the other issue I have with it is that, it seems like the firm does a lot of different things and they don't specialize in homelessness or housing from what I can read and hear. And I know when I spoke to housing experts throughout the state, as I have over the last few years and even over the last couple of days, there's one firm that sticks out that they, every housing expert has highly recommended, and they only deal with housing. That's all they do. And they're not really that far away from us location-wise. So that's also one of my concerns. So. I just, at this point, I don't think I can support it. You know, in fact, I think that I would make a motion to consider moving it to the Community Economic Development Committee. So at that point, maybe we could even see the proposal so we can get more information of what this firm is proposing and what it all entails.
Just a couple things to add. I do believe that the RFP before it went out, the homelessness RFP, was reviewed by the NYU committee back in December. I do believe that to be true, as far as when we wrote the RFP and Ms. Carner's department wrote the RFP. So I do believe that that is true. The other thing that I would say as far as the committee is concerned is that collectively, the members of the committee, between internal, Councilwoman Leone, Mark Riddle, Bob Rapp, spend collectively hundreds of hours reviewing these proposals. And I've probably mentioned this homelessness RFP proposal at least 10 times. We vote for consultants a lot. I think last time in December, one of my last votes was on the idea of hiring a CDBG consultant, where there certainly were not some of these concerns as far as bringing somebody. And also, like, oftentimes when we bring somebody in, it's about having that expertise and the time that we don't necessarily have in City Hall. Like, somebody could say, well, you could spend money to hire somebody to work on this issue, but you're not going to be able to get someone to work on this issue to be able to come in to handle all of the different areas. You need a firm that covers all these different areas. Like, one person would not be able to come in and do site selection and things like that. I also believe that Michael Baker is, I believe he's actually, they're actually our CDBG consultant that we voted for in December. I'm 98% sure about that. I'm not 100% sure, but I think that Michael Baker is actually the same CDBG consultant that we hired in December. So it was unanimous here. And I mean, it absolutely can be a situation that, you know, people sometimes spend money on consultants. I think if you look at what, you know, we have, and I've put my name behind the last couple of years, as far as Northside 2027, which helped to lead to the co-op getting the money, when we're talking about the climate action plan that many people in city council are involved in, is like, absolutely, there's a time where it does not make sense to hire somebody, but we're talking about a multi-million dollar public and private investment here. And spending money on site acquisition and all these different things without having some type of expertise is just not something that anybody, any of the 11 people on the committee, including the people that provide homeless services on a daily basis, were comfortable with. And that was kind of the genesis behind why we were going to spend this money to be able to set the stage so we have confidence that we actually are going to find a way to solve this problem over the long term.
Thank you, and I agree with you. It's a huge undertaking, and that is exactly why I have concerns, because we're looking at a multi-million dollar operation here. Something, we're talking about human lives, and I don't know really anything about this firm besides what I saw on the internet when I researched it myself. So I have a hard time voting to give $85,000 to a firm that I don't know myself is going to be giving us the best practices in dealing with the homelessness issue in our city.
If it will help, I'll just go in a little more detail about what the review process looks like. So, you know, we set up internally a scoring rubric. So for each consultant, we're looking at qualifications, and the directions are to consider past experience of the firm and of the individuals, and how that relates to the specific request that we've put in, what our RFP is asking for, and there's scoring associated with that. We are looking at knowledge of the scope of work, so everything that we've asked for in the RFP, we're scoring each consultant on how closely they are matching what we've asked for in the request for proposal. We're looking at whether the firms are women or minority-owned businesses, and we're also considering the compensation. So we've looked at each proposal. We've looked at exactly the dollar amount that's come in and compared that to the quality of the services. And every single person on the review committee scored. Those scores are tallied. We then got together, we reviewed our scores, we talked about each firm, under each category, and from there decided to select three of those firms for interviews. And we brought all three firms in, we asked a series of questions of each firm, we all participated in that process, and then after we did those interviews, we had a discussion among the 9 or 10 of us, that again included Councilwoman Leone, and members of the community and city staff, and we used that rubric in making that decision. So happy, of course, to talk about the proposal we selected and exactly how we ended up where we ended up, but I want to just give some comfort in some of the concerns that you've raised, I think, about, rightly, of course, about making the right selection based on experience, based on price. All of that went into our multiple-step review process.
Any other comments from members of council? Dr. Ian?
It's a dumb question here because I feel like I'm flying blind. Was it discussed among the city council? You said 9 or 10 people.
So,
So we had talked about this process many times as far as going out for this homelessness RFP, and then including saying that we were putting together a group of people that are involved in this, both internally as our internal operations, external operations, and we had a representative from City Council. It has been something, and I know it's probably been a whirlwind the last couple of weeks for you, Dr. Enix, I know. And I know you've come in to talk to Mr. Evans and Mr. Sivak and department heads trying to catch up on everything, and I'm sure information is coming very quickly. It is something that, you know, we have tried to, and I guess I would probably start there too, is like, we are here every single day. You know, we see many of you every, you know, multiple times a week as part of committees and initiatives, and that's what we're here for. And I mean, City Council is open 8 to 4:30, and I could not tell you the last time that Ms. Collins or myself was not here until 6 okay. or 7 o'clock. Okay. And I would...
Another question, though. Do they take into account the different types of homelessness and the different reasons for homelessness? You know, there's elder... families for different reasons.
Well, so mental health. That's a topic that I can represent. You know, we talked about among ourselves, and when we were looking at the different proposals, we wanted to know which of these consultants does understand the various issues that come with tackling this problem, and the various dynamics, the different types of communities that need services, and which are currently...
So what was the criterion that rated each applicant for?
I would say absolutely among the review committee, that was something that we were looking for, yes.
And that internal committee too, whether or not it's Mr. Rapp or Mr. Riddle that work with these situations, you know, on the front lines, they obviously are going to be very, very, very involved as far as working with the consultant, as far as what homelessness looks like in Bethlehem, who are the people that are most affected, having interviews with people that are homeless, that's gonna absolutely be part of the process, is understanding that experience from different points of view in the city.
Okay. Any other comments, Ms. Leo?
So I was the council person that was part of this, as has been said. I have quite a bit of experience with unhoused populations, dating back to when I was like 16 years old in high school. I think that Michael Baker is a great company to tackle this problem with us together. But if this does get pushed to other conversations, I'm still very confident that this organization would be the one that rose to the top, because they do have a real depth of knowledge regarding all aspects of unhoused populations and how we can tackle it.
Thank you, Ms. Leon. Well, I'd like to give everyone who didn't speak yet a chance to speak if they wanted to.
I thought Dr. Van Wert was next. I
go ahead.
Do have a comment.
Ms. Cueta.
So I just want to say that we've only had a few meetings as a council, but we have voted on much larger contracts than this and have trusted that the experts in City Hall who, you know, deal with our water and our sewer and our recycling and all of these things are going through their due diligence and doing the right thing. And having had the opportunity to talk to Mr. Riddle today also, I know that in this case, that was certainly the case, and I'm comfortable with this. So I just want to kind of, again, on a broader basis, if we were responsible for reviewing every proposal as a city, as a council, that came in through the RFP process, if we were micromanaging City Hall, nothing would ever get done. So I want to say that I appreciate all of the work and effort that went into this process, Mr. Rapp, Mr. Riddle, Councilwoman Leon, and all the other people who spent many, many hours going over this material, and I'll be voting for this tonight. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Cueta. Dr. Van Wert.
Okay. So I think what you're hearing tonight is not necessarily discomfort with anything that the city has done or the need to address this problem speedily. Along that line, I'd like to thank Mr. Rapp and Mr. Riddle and the administration for putting a priority on getting this done. I think it's important. But I also think that City Council clearly, and I am speaking for many of my council members, they can refute me, but I think that we really care about this issue. And it's not just a one and done issue, build a shelter and that you've got everything taken care of. There's a lot of different considerations. Should it be one shelter? Should it be two shelters so you can separate single people from families? Where is the women's shelter? I think there's only one right now. It's over in Easton. And I think council is asking to have a voice in understanding what the situation is and also determining what the priorities are. And I read that in the RFP you had put out flexibility is something that you really want them to do, and I hope we can all be flexible. I don't think council has an intent to slow down the process, but I think rather wants to be more informed and driven by the people in this room and kind of what the process looks like going forward, because it's not necessarily the $85,000 for this contract that is in play here. It's what this contract and this consultant is going to be advising the city to do with the ARP money to address homelessness. So it's much bigger than just $85,000, and that's why I do agree that a committee meeting to talk about this with the people who may know a lot more than what we know, because we haven't been exposed to it except for this opportunity tonight for me personally to talk about these issues, would be allow us to have a much more informal gathering where we could ask the experts and kind of talk about it amongst ourselves and move on it at that time. So I don't feel that there's, for me personally, a huge level of discomfort with the idea of contracting out knowledge, but I do think that council would like to be involved and informed, and I feel a committee meeting would help us get to that point. So I'll be seconding Ms. Cramsey Smith's motion.
Any other comments or questions from other members of council? Ms. Cramsey Smith?
Yeah, if I could just add, I appreciate Councilwoman Hillary's pretext comments, and it is true, we do vote on a lot of contracts, many of them over $85,000, but the difference I see in this is that those contracts, most of them are engineering, water and sewer, where we had people within the City Hall who, that's their expertise, they are engineers. I feel like this one, as Dr. Van Moore has said, we all are very passionate about housing and homelessness. It's been something we've been talking about for a long time. It's been something I've been involved in a long time myself on a daily basis, and that's why I'm very passionate about it. And I think that's why I feel that this is so important and we need to get more information, because it's not something that we're giving an engineer a contract to do the roads or do something in the water and sewer plant. We're looking at something that is going to be extremely vital to our citizens, and it's going to be very long-lasting and pervasive. And that's why I feel it's a very big difference, and I feel it's really important that we get more information on who this firm is and what it's all going to tell us, what's it going to look like.
Thank you, Councilwoman. Any other questions or comments from other members of council?
I guess I'll chime in here and say that, I'm not opposed. In fact, I'm interested in learning more about the presentation, but I do value the expertise, the knowledge, and the care on the subject that has already been put into the subject. And the individuals who made this decision have a lot of experience with the subject of homelessness. I do trust this decision. If we decide tonight to vote on taking it to committee, that will be a great opportunity that I imagine will only solidify my decision.
So I'll just conclude then. Mayor Reynolds, did you want to add other remarks?
Just a couple things. One is, as far as this is really being created as a public vehicle for the expertise of the people in the community. So the consultant will absolutely have an opportunity to talk to any member of City Council if they want to. And also, it allows for the different questions that we had as far as standalone or multiple or where to put it, as I had said before, was absolutely the number one thing that we had in all of these hours and hours of conversations was what type of flexibility you have to answer questions on the fly as they come up, as Dr. Van Wert had said. It also was an opportunity for, as I said, Mr. Rapp and Mr. Riddle, who deal closer with these issues than anybody, to feel comfortable going forward that they were going to be able to respond to this particular issue. We are not approving this contract to then go build something that's multi-million dollars. That wouldn't happen. It's only to put together the feasibility study and to discuss the continuity of services that are needed to respond to homelessness in the city of Bethlehem. So it's whatever that report would come back for, which obviously can be influenced by anybody in City Council, who absolutely will have the opportunity to be part of every process to have all, every question answered. The urgency here, though, is, and there's two things. One is that the 11 people that were part of this, and if it goes to committee because that's council's, that's fine. But our recommendation is still going to be Michael Baker. We would not have brought it here if the people that were associated with that committee and the people associated with that committee were not me. I was probably number 11 on that list. It's Mr. Novotnik and Ms. Wenrick and Ms. Collins and Mr. Rapp and so on and so forth. Is that the process that as these things are designed, is that if it is if it becomes the will not to hire Michael Baker, then that is absolutely council's decision. But we went through this process and we picked Michael Baker as far as who the recommendation was going to be. If we continue to push this off, it only increases the likelihood that next year we're going to have that sense of urgency with whatever happens, and it's going to slow down the process. I truly believe that the only decision being made here is starting that process about taking that next step in that conversation, but that everybody absolutely would have the opportunity to weigh in, be at the public meetings, and everything else like that. But I don't think sending it to committee in this case is going to leave a different, it's not going to end up with a different recommendation from the private or the public entities that were part of this process. And any other question is able to be answered during this process. Thank you.
Thank you, Mayor Reynolds. Any other feedback from council members?
I just wanted to add, I think that I hope that regardless of any perspective of any individual up here, that it is not translating as in any way that we do not appreciate so much the time that you put in, as particularly Mr. Rapp and Mr. Riddle, and we are very grateful for your time and your investment. I just want to make sure that that is not getting clouded at all.
Thank you, Ms. Wilhelm. It's a couple.
President, can I just say one more thing? And I just want to also say, as I said before, it's no reflection on the Michael Baker International firm, because again, I don't really know much about them. They may be the best firm, but I feel like it's just important that we have more information, because it is a big undertaking. And I think at our last meeting we talked about doing a committee meeting anyway, so that we could have public input on the whole housing issue. So I'm thinking that it might be timely that we do it and we can address this and have the public here to give their input. And also, I think that the contract isn't until April 1st, so even though it's timely, we do have like a month that if we can get a committee meeting going, you know, in March, that we can hopefully have a resolution by then.
Thank you, Councilwoman Ramsey-Smith. So just a couple general comments that I have before I'll open it up to see what the will is of council for tonight. I'll start with, I would be supporting this resolution as it appears on the agenda. I agree with a lot of the things that were brought up already, kind of from both perspectives of those in support of voting on it, those in support of taking a harder look on it. But at the end of the night, I fall on the side of being prepared to vote on this evening. I appreciate the insight to the process. I appreciate a member of council being involved with the process, her insight that she shared with us tonight, to what that was. I thank the members from the community for all the work you do outside of City Hall, of course, first and foremost, but then you take in your own time to be involved with this. We heard tonight about other contracts that we award as a council when they come before us, sometimes for hundreds of thousands of dollars, not only $84,000, and more often than not those go through, but also at the same time, there is a lot of understanding that those are usually construction projects, and we're not talking about the future of or kicking off what could be future potential to serve underserved members of our community and the city. Now, as we talk about where we're at with this point here, I look back on other contracts that were awarded. One of them, it's not a one-to-one comparison, that's not the point I'm trying to make here, but something like the pedestrian bridge study, where I thought in order to get to that end point of where we hope to be, or at least explore where we hope to be, we need that kicking off point. And I look at this as that kicking off point. And when we talk about public input, whether it's from our community leaders, stakeholders, members of council, I think given the background and explanation from the administration
that there will be adequate time and input during this process for that, that council wouldn't, or no one, not just council, because it's beyond the seven of us, but that the community's not going to be shut out of these conversations moving forward with the recommended party here in front of us. And as it relates to, you know, this contract, I look at it as, again, a jumping off point to further and more extensive conversations that are had over the course of this 1 year that they're able to look on things, and then council have input on the back end or once recommendations come forward and see where we are with things. $84,000 is not a little bit of money. There was a time not too long ago you could buy a row home in Bethlehem for $84,000. As we talk about, those days have passed. Also, as we talk about, though, using, and I believe this comes from the American Rescue Plan funds, if I'm not mistaken, this is a drop in the bucket for the purpose of what those funds are to be allocated for when we look at the total resources that we have for that. So again, with the understanding of the work that was put into it, not just by the administration, other members of the community, a member of council, an extensive review of those that responded to the RFP, committee meeting would give opportunity to discuss the award or who is recommended, I think I am comfortable voting on this tonight and moving forward. But again, that's me, so I would be in support of this tonight instead of sending it to committee. But I know there were other discussions had up here, so I will open it up to any motions that want to be made by members of council as it relates to this resolution.
I thought a motion was made and seconded already.
Well, do you want to state your motion again, just for the record, and then we'll, because then we're going to have to vote on that motion.
I motion that we move this to the Community Economic Development Committee.
And I second.
So just to be clear, Councilwoman, is that a motion to table the vote tonight or a motion to postpone the vote tonight? Because I believe a motion to table, this is why we have Mr. Pinnella next to us, would require setting an actual date of when it would reappear on the agenda. Is that correct?
That would be correct, and that would also be my recommendation. As Councilwoman pointed out, this is a set contract time, and we do have a month and able to do this. So in this case, I would think it is appropriate to set a council meeting specifically for this, but the tabling would require a set date for this.
So Mr. Pinnella, just to kind of restate what you said, you would recommend a motion to table, and in that motion, setting a date, but not a committee date, a date for this to reappear on the full council agenda. Is that fair?
Yes. My fear as the legal counsel for council is that items like this, if there is no end date placed, is that it can get lost in the ether. And given, from what I'm hearing, the well intentions, just want to review this more, it may be appropriate for this to reappear on some certain date so council can take action.
Thank you, Mr. Pinnell.
So I will motion that we table it and move it to the committee and Community Economic Development Committee and table it until the, the 5th meeting. But the problem is, will we be able to get the committee meeting done in March?
Is that a question?
What if we can, Attorney Pinnella, if we cannot, if for some reason we do not get the committee meeting completed in March and we table it until April 5th?
If it is tabled to April 5th, regardless of if the committee meeting happens or not, it would still reappear on the agenda at that time. And what council decides to do with it at that time would be to council's choice, again, at that time as it is today. Again, that would still be my recommendation to the council to make sure that having some certain date, again, does somewhat put a fire underneath to try and have that committee meet so that way this can get discussed and handled appropriately.
Well, I'm going to phrase it this way just to be safe, even though I hate to go 2 weeks longer, but I'm going to say table it until April 19th meeting, and so that we can discuss it at the Community Economic Development Committee meeting.
So the motion by Councilwoman Cramsey-Smith to table the resolution for Ward until April 19th.
I'll second it.
Second by Dr. Van Wert.
any discussion on the motion? So again, before we call the roll, if there is no discussion, a vote in the affirmative is to say yes to putting this on the agenda for April 19th. Any discussion from members of council?
Just to clarify, so an aye vote means we will table it to the 19th, and then a no vote means that we will then vote
tonight. If the motion fails, then the clerk would call the roll and we would vote on it this evening.
As it stands.
As it stands, correct. Yeah. So what we're voting on when the clerk calls the roll in support of it is to vote table it to April 19th, and a vote against is saying we're not going to postpone it or table it.
Mr. Cologne, one point just for timing purposes is that April 1st deadline or that April 1st contract is based on the idea that council passes it and it goes through all the things it needs to go through in City Hall, including legal and so on and so forth, for the work to start at that point, because it's got to go to legal, it's got to go to the business administrator, it's got to go all those different places. So if it's not voted on until April 19th or whatever, whenever it would be voted on, it is a solid month after that before the contract and the services and things like that could begin. So if it's April 19th, it's, you know, whatever. That's what the April 1st deadline is based on. So it's not like if you pass it at the April 5th meeting, it's not like it could have started on April 1st. This is a step in the contracting process. Then it has to go all the way through City Hall, controller's office, everything else like that, before it then gets signed, executed, and then it necessarily can begin.
Understood. Thank you, Mayor Reynolds.
And Ms. Collins did pass to me here what the proposed schedule is for them. So if it was passed today, the first task there is stakeholder engagement, which is a 6 to 8 week process in April and May of 2022.
Any other comments, Mr. Reynolds?
I think that's it for now. Thanks.
Thank you. Before I ask the clerk to call the roll on the motion, any other comments or discussion from members of council?
I have a question.
Ms. Leon?
If they table this until the 19th, but they happen to get the meeting done earlier, like next week, can you then move it up, or does it have to stay the 19th?
We could move it up.
Good question.
I mean, we'd have to... hang on one second. There'd have to be a process to that, I believe, but I'll turn to Mr. Pinnell.
Let's say in the hypothetical that you're giving that the meeting happens tomorrow, and realistically it could be placed on the immediate next agenda. It would have to be appropriately advertised and handled that way. Would it be fair to say, Ms. Smith, that your Councilwoman Smith, that your motion can be interpreted as at the latest date it would be the April?
Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely.
So in that case, yes, it would be something that could be placed on, assuming that the meeting happens earlier, and it could, of course, be advertised appropriately, which would, of course, be the ideal situation when we're dealing with a little bit more of a time-sensitive issue like this.
So just so I understand, so if we can meet sometime in March, and then we can put it on the April 5th?
Yes, so long as there's enough time to satisfy all of the advertising requirements.
We don't need to come back and do a motion or anything, as long as it's advertised.
No, especially with your clarification.
Okay.
Thank you.
Any other questions or comments from members of council?
Well,
Dr. Manwart?
I was just going to say, if we could conceivably, and I know this isn't necessarily the place to determine this, but if we could conceivably meet as a committee on next Tuesday, then it could even be put on the next council agenda, as long as we have a majority.
I would just advise having that conversation with our city clerk just about everyone's availability, administration's availability, if we're gonna invite the company that is to receive the award, and there's also a finance committee meeting that same evening when we talk about next Tuesday. So there's other considerations. Mayor Reynolds, do you wanna?
No, there's just a lot of people on the administrative side to involve in any potential meeting.
Yeah, so there's...
Inside and outside of City Hall.
And I would assume they would be motivated to make it to the meeting if time is of the essence. That's why I'm saying, like, conceivably we could schedule a meeting for next Tuesday and it would be on the next
council agenda?
I think anything that we were scheduling at this very moment would be in pencil and not in pen.
Absolutely.
Out of fairness to all the different people that would be involved. So I think it would be pertinent to simply engage our city clerk to reach out to everyone as soon as possible, of course. But again, right here on the spot without having everyone even present in this room would be a little premature.
Well, I'm not asking to schedule it. I'm saying conceivably we the potential exists to get it on the next council meeting agenda.
Of course, the potential exists depending on everyone's availability, of course. It's a conversation to be had.
Yeah.
Any other questions or comments from members of council? Well, I'm going to ask the clerk to call the roll on the motion to table agenda item 10B to April 19th.
Dr. Van Moore?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Nay.
Ms. Crampsey-Smith?
Aye.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Nay.
Ms. Leone?
Nay.
Mr. Cologne?
Nay. The motion fails 4-3. Now I will, so that given that the motion has failed, we will, unless there's other discussion from members of council, I will ask the, pardon. To vote on it, even though it's on the agenda. Thank you. Understood. So after a brief pause, we will be continuing on with the agenda as was previously advertised. And if there's no other comments or questions from members of council, I will ask the clerk to call the roll. And this is for the approval of the contract with Michael Baker International. Dr. Van Wert?
Just very briefly, it's the idea of having this committee meeting is, for me, is not about necessarily scrutinizing the contract. It's about having council engaged in the discussion of homelessness in the city and how it's approached and how the priorities are set and who is setting the priorities. That's what it's about. I'm you know, more than happy to have a contract go out. I think this was a way to for us to ask you, or at least for me to ask you, can we please be engaged on a level and how this rolls out? What are the priorities? We represent the citizens, and I think it's important for council to have a role in the future of solving this problem together, not to supplant the expertise that's in the room, but to understand it, to be able to vote meaningfully for funding these things. That's what this was about for me. So I just wanted to say that.
Thank you, Dr. Mayor. Any other comments from members of council before we call the roll? Mayor Reynolds?
I just wanted to say, Dr. Mayor, we are always willing to have a committee meeting. And whether or not the committee meeting to talk about this, to talk about the process, as I said, and I know you are dealing with things that are much more important on a day-to-day basis than a lot of what goes on around here. So, but, you know, any time that's either convenient for you personally, but also city council-wise as far as a committee meeting, we are more than willing to show up at any point and go through all of it, even outside of the stakeholder engagement process. We are just trying to get that process going to allow for that particular engagement. But 100%.
Thank you.
I just want to reiterate, I totally agree. I think that, you know, we all care about our folks who are homeless and those who cannot afford housing in this community, and the best way is to work together. We have a lot of people who, you know, I don't use the word expertise lightly, but I've been fortunate to meet people who I do feel are experts throughout the state in my last 3 years of looking at housing and homelessness. And there's a lot of people, even in the Lehigh Valley, who really have the know with this issue. And I just would like us to really engage them. So thank you.
Thank you, Councilwoman Cramsey-Smith. Any other comments from members of council? I will ask the clerk to call the roll on the approval of the contract.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Ms. Crampsey-Smith?
Aye.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
Ms. Kreatak?
Aye.
Ms. Leon?
Aye.
Mr. Colon?
Aye. Resolution passes 6-1. New business? Any new business from members of council? Dr. Enix?
I have. The Finance Committee will meet on Tuesday, March 8th at 6 p.m. in the Town Hall Rotunda. The committee will discuss three agenda items. The first one is a proposed Bethlehem Authority debt transaction. The second is the annual year-end budget adjustments. And the third is the health grant adjustments. That, again, is Tuesday, March 8th at 6 p.m.
Thank you, Dr. Enix.
I just want to say huge kudos to Chief Cott on her recognition tonight, well deserved. And I know I, and I think everybody in this city, or most people, are really grateful and proud to have you as our police chief. We're very grateful. And before we adjourn, I just was hoping that maybe we could have a moment of silence for our friends over in Ukraine who are fighting the good fight right now.
Thank you, Councilwoman Ramsey Smith, and we'll gladly have a moment of silence before we adjourn tonight. Any other comments from members of council for new business? Councilwoman Kreatak?
I just wanted to report that I'm happily engaged along with some other council members in the Climate Action Plan implementation process. We've had numerous subcommittee meetings, and I'm happy to be working with, as I said, some fellow council members and also members of the administration to actually make these things that are on paper a reality. And speaking as someone who has Ukrainian roots, I'm a partially Ukrainian Jew. I'm a full Jew, but I'm partially Ukrainian Jew. My maternal grandmother's grandparents fled the pogroms of the 1870s, and very proud. Maybe Vladimir Zelensky is a cousin, a long lost cousin. But I, of course, wish the people of Ukraine well tonight, and thinking of them. So, thank you.
Before we adjourn, I'll ask us everyone bow their heads for a brief moment of silence as we reflect on what's going on in the Ukraine. Thank you. This meeting is adjourned.